not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
This evening we want to look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is sometimes misinterpreted and sometimes referenced when it shouldn't. Of course, someone watching this and hearing those words might say, well, this guy sounds like he's got it all together, or thinks he does and thinks he's a know-it-all. Certainly not, and I certainly don't have it all together. But I am a Bible student, as we all should be, and there should be a consistent interpretive method as we look at the Word of God. And we want to look at Matthew 24 today, and I want to read verses 1 through 6, and we're going to allude to several portions in the book, in the chapter. But we want to just read as our text, verses 1 through 6. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, Matthew 24 and verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto him, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of this age? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So today we want to look at this, and of course this is Bible prophecy that we're looking at. I love it. I enjoy it. Many of you love it and enjoy it, and you've enjoyed our time of Bible prophecy on Sunday and Wednesday nights in the past. We want to look at the time of Jacob's trouble, and of course that phrase is found in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 6 and 7. In those verses, Jacob, or the nation of Israel, is portrayed like a man who is about to give birth. You heard me correctly, a man who is about to give birth. This man is suffering great pains. He's bowed in agony. And the Bible tells us that there are no days to compare with those that Israel must endure. However, in verse 7, of course, in Jeremiah 30, I encourage you to read that in parallel to this study. Verse 7 shows us that Israel will be saved out of those days. Now, by way of introduction, I'd like to share two major reasons for this time known as the tribulation. Two major reasons for the tribulation period. There are many more reasons that could be stated, but there seem to be these two that really stand out, and I would consider them crucial. Number one is to punish the Gentile nations. Punish the Gentile nations. Now, I'm going to give you some verses, and of course, for sake of time and video, we could not read everything. The notes on this message is already about 20 pages typed. And so I'm trying to condense down everything that I can. But let me give you some references where the Lord will punish the Gentile nations. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. And then Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. Now, for many thousands of years, men have spurned the call of God to repentance and salvation. During that tribulation period, God will visit wicked humanity with the fruits of their sin, and he will issue divine judgment. The second reason that I would say for the tribulation period that it needs to stand out, and there are others, but I'm going to give you two today. The second one is to purge the people of Israel. Now, the scripture references I would give you there would be Ezekiel 20, verses 37 and 38, and then Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9, and then Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3. The nation of Israel is guilty of rejecting the Messiah and of having a part in his death. However, God will use the terrors of the tribulation to prepare Israel for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, when Jesus returns to the earth in power and glory, he will be met by a believing remnant of the Jewish people. Now, I want to say that we'll be covering some frightening material here. However, we need to hear these things because there may be those people who will tune in that will hear this, who have never repented of their sins, never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. These people, if the Lord Jesus returns in their lifetime, will face many of the things that we're going to discuss during the course of this message. I noticed a blessing some pastor had sent out the other day. A Jewish lady in New England states had been listening to an online message of a pastor preaching. And this Jewish lady accepted Christ as Savior. So the word is going out across the internet by way of this pandemic. And so we have to be mindful of that and thank God for it. This is not just an inconvenience for us. God is using what we are giving, what we're able to go through. He's using it for our good and his glory. Now, we need to realize that the responsibility of reaching this world before the tribulation is on the shoulders of the redeemed people of God, but it's not entirely on our shoulders. And you say, wait a minute, didn't the Bible say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? Yes, but the Bible also teaches that God is in charge of the complete operation of salvation. God is with us. God prepares hearts. God prepares us. God equips us. So we're not in this alone. We're not just like soldiers picking up a backpack, marching off into the desert, and we've got one bazooka and we've got one gun. No, we've got the God of heaven preparing for us. So the world evangelism falls on bottom line, it falls on God's shoulders to present the gospel as he has through the testimony in light of creation, the testimony in light of his dear son, and so the testimony of the church. Now, having said all those things, I want to spend some time in the 24th chapter here, Jacob's trouble. And I encourage you to read this chapter. Verses 1 through 14, for sake of time, we're not going to read all of them, but I encourage you to do that. But in verses 1 through 14, this is how the tribulation commences. This passage is part of the sermon, a message preached by the Lord Jesus known as the Olivet Discourse. This message came about as Jesus and his disciples were at the temple. And Jesus told his disciples that the temple would eventually be destroyed. Now, this intrigued these men. And they wanted to know more details about the end of the time, the end of the age. Verses 1 through 4 detail that. In this message, Jesus tells them some of the events that will transpire during the course of the tribulation. Even though these words were spoken to the disciples, they are the message directly to the nation of Israel. Now, even though these words are not addressed directly to the church, there are still lessons here given that we can learn from, that we can grow from. The first half of the tribulation will be a time of spiritual deception. Notice with me in verse 5, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Notice with me in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Spiritual deception. Now, there will also be a rise in the appearance of those claiming to be the way of salvation. There will be many false Christ and false prophets during the tribulation. However, none none of their power, none of their fame will be enjoyed like the Antichrist and the false prophet, as we see in Revelation 13. The two reprobates from hell will deceive the world into believing that they are literally gods. That is the Antichrist and the false prophet. And they will demand and receive the worship of men. Now, the tribulation will be a spiritual time. It will be marked by great deception. One of the great tools used by the Antichrist to deceive the world will be his ushering in of a time of peace. Revelation 6 and verse 2, remember, this is when the Antichrist comes on the scene, and he's described as riding a horse, having a bow with no arrows, speaking symbolically. Remember, Revelation is a book of symbols, symbolically of the fact that he will be coming a promising and a man of peace initially. Daniel 8 and verse 25 will also convey the same truth. Now, we're already seeing these things being manifested in our time. You remember the name David Koresh. You remember the name Jim Jones, Sun Young Moon, many others who have claimed and have claimed to be Messiah. False prophets abound today. However, these are just the tip of the iceberg. The crazies are going to crawl out of the woodwork during the tribulation period. Now, verses 6 through 13, we have social devastation. Social devastation. Where people say, well, Revelation and the tribulation, we're in the tribulation now. No, we're not. There's no way we could be in the tribulation now. If you say that we could be in the tribulation now, then you're automatically dismantling the fact that you believe in any shape or form in the rapture of the church, the catching away of the saints in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verses 53 to 56. Then you're saying you don't believe in that. And if that's what you don't believe, then that's your problem, not mine. You have every right in this world. People have died on the battlefield of America and beyond this land to die so that you can have the freedom of choice and so that you can have the freedom to be wrong or the freedom to be stupid. It doesn't matter. We all have that freedom. But this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the Bible says he's going to catch us away. And that word catch away, there is a forceful catch. It is going to be a rapture of the church. He's going to call us home. Now, after he calls us home, there's going to be a devastation on this earth. The tribulation period will be marked by an increase in the instability of society, unlike anything that we have seen today. Verses 6 and 7 of this chapter, this time will be marked by disruptions. There will be the increase in warfare and hostilities between nations, verses 6 and 7. The false peace instituted by the Antichrist will not last, and it will be replaced by the devastation of a world war. That's made clear in Revelation 6 and verse 4. The rider of the red horse is war. There will be an increase in anti-Semitism and persecution aimed at the Jewish people here in verse 9. The Bible says in verse 9, then they shall deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Daniel 7 and verse 25 refers to this as well. Now, many of these things seem to be going on around all around us this evening already. Yes, we see the precursor of the tribulation. Yes, we see the unrest all over the world. Yes, we see the formation of a one world government in the minds of people. Yes, everything is ready. The only thing that is holding it back is God himself. And he's coming for us. Now, the world's political scene is becoming increasingly unstable. Small nations ruled by unprincipled men now have nuclear capability. Economic pressures are forcing countries to seek the resources that belong to neighboring nations for their very survival. The world is poised for economic political war. Now, there's a marked increase of hatred toward the Jews. The supreme leader of Iran just this week came out and repeatedly called for the destruction and annihilation of the nation of Israel. This has been done repeatedly by the nation of Iran. And so this is profoundly clear in the attitudes of Israel's neighbors. The Palestinians and the Arabs would love nothing more than the total destruction of the nation of Israel. And it's my conviction that they will attempt this during the first part of the tribulation. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, seems to indicate that the Russians will be involved in this attempt to destroy Israel, but the plan will fail, and Israel will use the weapons of this warfare to provide fuel for their people for 7 years, Ezekiel 39 and verse 9. Now, when the actual tribulation comes to this world, there will be an astronomical increase in this kind of activity. The things that are transpiring in the world today are only the first rumblings of what is yet to appear. No, we're not there yet. It's going to be much, much worse. Verse 7, the Bible says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. This time will be marked by desperation. According to this verse, there will be famine during the tribulation. This is again made even clearer by the words of Revelation, Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. A careful look at these verses reveals that the black horse speaks of death. The balances refer to a careful rationing of food. A penny in these days was a day's wages. A Roman penny would purchase 8 measures of wheat or 24 measures of barley. In other words, the food supply will be one-eighth of what it is normally. However, the writer is told not to hurt the oil or the wine. It appears that luxury items enjoyed by the rich will not be harmed. Sadly, the common man will not be able to buy these things, therefore he will starve. Again, we're already seeing these things begin to take shape. We're living in the most prosperous days this world has ever known. However, the world has never been this populated before. Much of the land that was once used to grow food now has been transformed into places for people to work and to live. Our world faces genuine food shortages. There's no farmers farming. There's already people like Bill Gates coming up and saying that the world needs to be depopulated. Just this past week or last week, one of the princes of Great Britain said that the world had a population that was just too much. One person dies from starvation or one of its related diseases every second of every day. That translates into 86,400 people per day, over 2.5 million per month, over 31 million every year. And this is going to be the rationale that will be used to starve those people. Now, during the tribulation, these things will just get worse and worse. You want to stay here for that? You want to be here for that? I would say not. You can be saved if you've never been saved, and you can avoid this. Now, verse 7, this time will be marked by diseases. Verse 7 refers to pestilence. This tells us that the tribulation period will be a time when diseases will run rampant among the human family. Again, this is referred to in the book of Revelation, Revelation 6 and verse 8. This awful look into the future tells us that that 25% of the world's population will die at one point in time. At present, there are over 7 billion people in the world. with a new one being added every half a second. Every year, there are over 78 million new births in the world. Now, imagine a scene where over 1.5 billion died during the same terrible tragedy. During World War II, one person out of every 40 died. During this terrible plague, one of every four persons will die. Just look around and count them off in this building, in your home. It will be a terrible time. Now, verse 7, this will be a time marked by disasters. Jesus said that there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be natural disasters during these early days of the tribulation. Again, in the 20th century of America, in this world, we've seen earthquakes, we've seen all of that. But we haven't seen them with the magnitude that's going to be in the tribulation. Now, in verses 10 and 12, this time will be marked by disobedience. These verses seem to indicate that the tribulation will be marked by a total disregard for the sanctity of life, a total disregard of property or the right of others. That is clear. That is clear by two statements. Verse 10, the Bible says in verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Betrayal and hatred. Betrayal and hatred. These verses seem to indicate that men in that day will have no respect for one another. Certainly violent crimes will increase and many will die at the hands of their fellow man. Of course, the world population is already being trained to disregard the life of human beings and the rights of every fellow man. When we live in a world that allows the murder of over 55 million unborn children every year, it sends a message that life is not important. And yet we get on television as human beings and try to tell everyone that we care about the lives of people and we want to protect human beings. Please stay at home so nothing will spread and that you won't get sick. That is nothing but hypocrisy. When we kill the lives of unborn children, we see an increase in euthanasia, other forms of mercy killings being accepted by people in the world. When the world accepts a foolish notion that man evolved from lower life forms, that when he dies, he's like a dog that merely goes to the grave, it becomes easy to take a life. When men saw one another as what they are, if men saw one another as what they really are, unique creations, each made in the image of God, it would prevent some men from taking the life of others. It would. Now in verse 12, notice in your Bible, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's going to be a time of wickedness and the love of sin. The tribulation will also see an increase of man's attraction to and indulgence of sin. After the church is removed at the rapture, all restraints on society will be removed as well. No longer will there be a presence of a people who are filled with the Holy Ghost. No longer will there be a people on the earth who pray for society and their neighbors. What this world doesn't know and what Satan's crowd doesn't know and what every nation in the world doesn't know is that they actually need the people of God. They need the local church. They need the bride of Christ on the earth. They need us. We are the ones, not us because we have any glory of our own, but it's because the presence of God's people that God has withheld his judgment in this world and on our land. They need us. They just don't know it. They need the Lord Jesus. Many will never accept it. But this world will continue to slide into hell by following sin and all of its power that it possesses. Now, let's continue on. There is a special declaration in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, why did the Lord say the gospel of the kingdom instead of gospel of grace? Well, it's because the gospel of grace is the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his grace to mankind, and that has been preached since the cross until the time that when Jesus comes. That's also known as the dispensation of grace, or the time of grace, or the age of grace, however you want to say it. So the message that we preach, we as preachers preach, is the message of grace. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. We preach the same gospel that Paul preached. But here the Lord says the gospel of the kingdom. What's he speaking about? He's speaking about the gospel of the future kingdom of God that will be established by the Lord Jesus himself here on this earth at the end of the tribulation period. Now, not all the events of the tribulation will be bad. Now, during these years, God will raise up some men who will carry his message to the farthest ends of the globe. And the greatest mission will be accomplished by two separate groups of preachers. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, I encourage you to read them. You have a group of men that God will raise up. It's actually an army. It's 144,000 Jewish preachers that he will seal, he will protect, he will send out to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. The world system, the devil, and the Antichrist will be powerless to stop these men from their appointed task. They will not be able to interfere with them. And then the second group that we have is the two witnesses. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 12, you note the message and the ministry of these two witnesses. The two mystery preachers will stand at the wailing wall outside the newly constructed third temple, and they will preach the word of God. All attempts to stop them will fail until the Lord allows them to be slain. That's right. The Lord will allow them to be slain. Their bodies will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days while the world celebrates their death. Then they will rise from the dead and they will ascend back into heaven. Even in this dark hour that's going to come upon the earth, God will have his men proclaiming his truth to a world that desperately needs to hear it. God's never not had a witness on the earth. And so these people, these men, will be God's witnesses on the earth. Approximately 144,002 of these. Now, by the way, millions upon millions will be saved during this time by their preaching. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17, detail that millions will be saved. So if you're not saved this morning, don't think that you can wait until these fellows start ministering to the saved. Now, what if you're part of the crowd that dies from war and starvation and disease? What if you're deceived by the devil and worship the Antichrist? As it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 12 and 13. The time for you to be saved is now. Where do you stand before God? Now, believe it or not, that's just the first point. So we're going to have to continue this. Now, this video is going to be a little bit longer. Consider it a Bible study, a Bible lesson if you want. You may want to listen to it, pause it, and come back to it. Verses 15 through 19 is how the tribulation continues. In verse 15, these days are treacherous days. This verse refers to the Antichrist breaking his covenant with the nation of Israel. And this was prophesied by the prophet Daniel in Daniel 9 and verse 27 and will be fulfilled during the tribulation period. The Antichrist's sin will amount to him entering the Holy of Holies in the newly constructed Jewish temple in Jerusalem. He will declare himself to be God and will demand that the world fall before him in worship. The Bible tells us that this will most assuredly happen. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 8. We're going to conclude this part one of our study in Matthew 24. We will resume our study, Lord willing, on perhaps Wednesday night, but definitely we will have this as a Sunday night topic, and so we will definitely consider that either on Wednesday night. We'll have to look and see how far we are in the book of Jude. I really would like to conclude the messages there in the book of Jude before we continue on in this. Again, I wanted to dive into this text, and I wanted to examine it because there's a lot of confusion. Whenever things happen either on the news or things in Israel or things in the Middle East or such as the pandemic that changes people's lives today, they begin seeking answers. The problem is they don't read, they don't understand the scriptures because they don't study it, and they start grasping at straws. And they read the book of Revelation and they say, well, we're living in the pages of Revelation. Well, no, we're not. So I want us to be alerted to the fact that God is totally in control, and that God, we are exactly where God wants us to be in his plan. And so when we return, we will look more in depth into the Antichrist coming on the scene, him making a peace treaty in Daniel 9:27 with the nation of Israel, and we will be more intact with that, okay? So let's plan on doing that. This is part one of our study in Matthew 24. Now, we're approaching Matthew 24 not expositionally totally. We're looking at it in expositional nature, but we're not going verse by verse, as it were. We're picking out verses that comparatively align with Revelation and the tribulation there. So keep that in mind. We will definitely look forward to going back through it expositionally, verse by verse, at a later date. God bless you. I trust you have a great week in the Lord. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.